Welcome back to Certified Beef.
Me and Brandon are back after a little break due to our finals and just getting back to home, basically getting acclimated here. So be here for the next 3 weeks. Very interesting week of football. Obviously, not going to be talking about week 14. Yeah, week 14. But week 15, definitely one of the craziest weeks we've seen in a while. Yeah, a lot of close games. Tonight, actually, was the largest deficit of, or margin of victory at 12. So, a lot of close, entertaining games this weekend. Yeah, a lot of playoff implications online. But yeah. I'll obviously get into Booker with Beef later on, but just a little recap too.
But first, let's hear a word from our partners.
Hello, my name is Bradley, and I am pursuing my dream to becoming a full-fledged streamer here on Twitch. I play a wide variety of multiplayer and single-player games. Currently, I am a middle school teacher, and I owe it to my students for getting me into streaming. They wanted to watch their teacher play video games, so I began a Twitch channel. Since then, I have begun to grow and meet new people in the gaming community. I want to get my name further out there and grow a community that has a passion for positive and chill gaming. When you enter my channel, you will be greeted with a genuine smile and attitude that is unmatched. I often play with my viewers in a wide variety of games. If you or someone you know enjoys gaming, consider giving my channel, It's Bradley TTV, a look. I thank Certified Beef for partnering and giving me the opportunity to advertise. Their podcast is truly my favorite to listen to. Have a great day.
Aloha and hello there, you Certified Beef listeners. This is the Captain, Captain Coffee speaking, and I just want to take a second to thank my main man Brandon and the entire Certified Beef team for allowing me to talk about Captain Coffee for a second. We are a local coffee company from Maryland, and we strive to not just bring an amazing experience, but an experience unlike anything other, from the moment you buy your bag to your first sip and beyond. We want to bring you an experience unlike anything other, and I hope we can do that for you today. If you like black coffee, flavored coffee, whole bean, dark, whatever you like, we got it. So come check us out at www.cappedcoffee.com today. And as I like to say, may the brew be with you.
Whoops. Like you said, got lots of games to go over, so we're gonna go over most of the games because they were close. Most of them had at least some playoff implications on them. Just gonna give like a quick like 1 to 2 minute thoughts, except for like obviously the teams we know better. So we're gonna start with the Thursday night game, 49ers at Seahawks. 49ers win 21-13.
Yeah. This game really wasn't as close as the score may make it look. 49ers absolutely dominated this game for majority, if not all four quarters, besides the Seahawks' last attempts to make a comeback. Obviously, like Brock Purdy started before, didn't know what was he was going to be like on a short week. He played fine. He made enough throws, enough plays, but they really leaned on that run game at Christian McCaffrey this game, which you definitely think that you definitely could see them doing that later on. But man, the fucking Seahawks are on a downhill. They're on a fucking downhill, like fucking Black Diamond ski hill. Like they're going so far downhill. It's fucking crazy. This team was 6-3 at one point. Now they're sitting at, I think, 7-7. They've lost fucking four out of their last five games. Yeah, this team is all sorts of bad. Defense isn't that bad, but they can't run the ball anymore with Kenneth Walker. Geno Smith is starting to write back. Just a lot of things going bad. Just this team is definitely, this team I don't think is going to make the playoffs. They got to face Kansas City. And I don't know, 9-8 would make it, I think, but I don't know. It depends
You'd
on
be
what like
sweating it
teams
the
like.
entire time.
Yeah, and they have to play the Jets as well after the they have to play the Chiefs, Jets, and Rams, which I think they can lose all those games because I think the Rams are a feisty enough team, especially a divisional game trying to play spoiler. Obviously, the Rams have nothing to play for, but definitely going to be a tough stretch for the Seahawks. And 49ers seems like they're going to just like coast into the playoffs. I don't know what their schedule's looking like. I know they have to play the Commanders next week and then the Cardinals finish the season, but I don't know who they play in between that. But looks like they're just going to coast in because they just got a great run game. And their defense is absolutely phenomenal. So, but I don't think Brock Purdy is going to hurt them that much. And he's actually looked pretty good. Like, not even like there, not much weaknesses that he's shown as the third string quarterback on that team.
This might be weird for me to say, but I do really enjoy watching Brock Purdy play in the NFL. Since he was an Iowa State guy, but that Purdy Kittle connection right now, it's looking pretty nice. I could see the like if Brock Purdy continues this, they could just move on from Jimmy G right here and be like, you're done. Ship him out the door, let him walk, whatever they want
Well,
to
of
do.
course. I don't think that's a question at this point anymore. Maybe it is, but Trey Lance is still going to be the quarterback next year.
That's what you think.
No,
Brock Purdy might beat him out.
no.
No?
The only thing that they'll do is create a quarterback competition between those two.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy's not going to start. He's not going to be just named the starter.
No, not.
I have a feeling they're not going to move on from Trey Lance because they put way too much into him. They put so much capital into him. You can't just give up on him because he got hurt.
Oh yeah.
Like
No,
that's not fair to
I'm not
him.
saying that
And
you give up on Trey Lance. I'm saying that does Brock Purdy have an actual shot to start over him if he like continues this play?
I don't think so. I think
It
he'll literally just be like Jimmy G. Like, oh, if Brock Purdy takes them deep enough in the playoffs, whatever, he'll be like the solid backup that Jimmy G was after G or Trey Lance got hurt.
that's a solid prediction. But yeah, 49ers look unstoppable right now. I think they got a legitimate shot to get that number one seed if Philadelphia or Minnesota falls off a little bit. George Kittle, obviously, monster game. Defense
You say
played
that they could get
good.
the one seed?
Yeah.
They can't get the one seed
Why not?
because they're. Can they? I don't think they can.
Aren't they only two games back?
They're three. I don't know if they can. Unless they have, I don't. They haven't played the Eagles yet, and unless they have like, I don't think they have the tiebreaker over them.
Okay.
I'll look it up, but.
They could at least have the
No, they
second
can get the
seed.
two seat. They can get their two seat for sure.
Yes. They are looking like a very scary team to play. I would probably put them, yeah, I'd probably put them as the second best team in the entire NFL behind the Eagles.
I don't know if I go that far.
Because AFC, I like the
I
Bills
think
just
there's
don't do it
teams
for
better
me right
than.
now.
I just don't. I think you still like got to handicap him with Brock Purdy. I think that's.
That is
I know that's
true.
unfair. I know that's unfair, but you have to. You can't just. I think that's a huge thing. Plus, like, if they win, if they only get the three seed, let's say the Vikings, they get the two seed. They play each other in the divisional round. That team is going to be. I mean, that's a good team. Trust me, but. Having a rookie quarterback like that come into a hostile environment, and the 49ers have been ho like they're. I think they just got over 500 for their road record after this week's win. They have been subpar on the road.
Yes, they are now 4-3 on the road.
Yeah, so.
And we don't know how Brock Purdy is going to do under pressure, because he's only played 2 weeks. The last week was a blowout, obviously. And then this game against the Seahawks, I mean, they handled them pretty easy, even though the score was closer.
So let's see. They need the 12-1 Eagles to lose the rest of their games, or at least three of their final four. In that case, the 49ers would also need to win out. So they need the Eagles to lose out now, or they can lose out.
Is that
they
from last week out. Though? Because they're now 13-1. The Eagles.
No, it says they can lose 3 out of 4.
Okay.
So they can. So they can lose. They need the Eagles to lose out. They need to win out, and they also need the Vikings to, I think, lose one. Then, because I don't know how I don't know who's got the tiebreaker or whatever. Blah blah. So. But yeah, no, the 49ers definitely not a team you want to face in the playoffs. Kind of like what they did last year. They were the 6th seed, went in, pretty much dominated the Cowboys. Then they played a scrappy game in Green Bay, beat them on a last second field goal. And then they should have probably won in the NFC title game, and then they choked.
Yeah, but dropped pick. That didn't help them.
Jaquiski Tartt.
Yeah.
Who's a free agent and doesn't have a job. But yeah. 49ers definitely a scary team, though, still.
Yep. Seahawks maybe done. They're getting closer to being out of it. Next game, we're going to go Eagles-Bears. Eagles win 25-20, but the bigger news is Jalen Hurts is most likely out for the remainder of the regular season.
Fuck you, Jalen Hurts. You're a fucking piece of shit, you motherfucker. You fucking piece of shit. Fuck you. God, fuck you. Like, I honestly give a shit about this game. Like, Bears played tough against the Eagles, made Jalen Hurts throw a couple interceptions, but I'm mainly thinking about my fantasy guillotine. I forgot to pick up a quarterback to back up Jalen Hurts just in case anything, I guess, happens. The rosters are locked. There's no such thing as free agency when you get down to this nitty-gritty. So now I don't have a quarterback the rest of the year.
Oh,
I'm going to make money no matter what because I make it to next week, but I think I had a chance of winning it all, and now I think my chances dwindle to about zero. And I already asked what the third place prize is because I'm totally prepared to lose next
week. That's humbling.
So, yeah, I'm fucking pissed. Like, I mean, if it wasn't his throwing shoulder, like, you got to play, bro. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, I know that you guys can afford to lose a game or two, I guess. But I don't know. It fucking pisses me off. But yeah, it just sucks because dude did not need to fucking run like he was because they pretty much had the game in hand. But he did have 3 rushing touchdowns too.
Yeah. Though. Yeah. The main reason why I wanted to point out this game was because of the Jalen Hurts injury. I don't feel too bad about their chances, though, going into the rest of the season because Gardner Minshew is going to be just fine.
I'm still a little worried. I still think there's enough talent around him to kind of like Brock Purdy, but obviously Gardner Minshew's got that experience. There's definitely enough talent around Gardner Minshew for them to still be fine.
And they got at Cowboys. At home versus the Saints, and then at home versus the Giants. Like, that's not that intimidating of a schedule. So,
I mean, two divisional games is tough, but the Saints, right there, the Saints are a very bad team.
And the Giants are also slipping, so.
I think, honestly, the Giants will probably win that game now. Just because I think there's a good chance that game is going to matter for the Eagles.
It very well could.
Because I think there's a good chance they lose this week now with Hurts out, but they win the next week just because the Saints are so bad, and then they lock down the one seed. And
that's what they're playing for against the Giants is the one seed.
Well, no, they get the one seed if they win one more game.
Oh, that's right.
So they just need to win one more game out of their next 3 to get the one seed. So.
But I think in a backwards way, I think this could honestly help Jalen Hurts' MVP case, because if Gardner Minshew goes out there and he plays just average, and they lose like two out of these next three games, then I think they could be like, oh, Jalen Hurts is actually doing something. It's just not his team around him that's that good. He's balling out too and should deserve to get the MVP.
Kind of like the Carson Wentz situation, but different because they like they won the rest of their games pretty much when Carson Wentz got hurt.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he was going to win Carson Wentz until he got injured.
He was going to win. Because his stats fantastic. Were like better than Tom Brady at the time, and then Tom Brady finished out the year with better stats.
Yeah. So it kind of sucks that MVP is a longevity type of thing. It makes sense, but also sometimes it doesn't. Here we go. Next game. Ooh, let me scroll back here. Come on. Next game here will... we'll go... sure, Patriots-Raiders. Crazy, crazy finish if you haven't seen it already. I don't know how you haven't if you watch football, but Raiders win 30-24.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, didn't see an absolute thing on this game. I feel like I don't know what I was doing yesterday. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't really watch much football yesterday, I guess. Wait, did I? Who played Sunday night last night? Oh, that's right. We went over there. I didn't really watch. I watched like a little football yesterday, mainly just because the Vikings didn't play. I just like, I had some running around to do. But. It's two things from this game that I'm just going to point out. Just like, was his foot in? Like, like I saw a different angle and it looked like his foot was in. Like, I saw there was a photo that clearly showed that his foot was, like, I'm pretty sure in. I saw on Bleacher Report. But either way, like, can't really do anything about that. But dude, Bill Belichick is going to kill them. Like, I didn't pick the Patriots in my bookie with beef, but goddamn, the Patriots money line even next week looks fucking enticing because he is gonna absolutely whip those boys into shit. Like, he's gonna fucking shit on them. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I've never seen something so dumb in my life out of a professional sports team. It's one of the most mind-boggling things I've ever seen in my life. There's no words to describe it. Like, how, in what way were you like, oh yeah, this is a good idea. Tie game. Like, draw play. Like, why don't you just kneel it? Like, you're not going to get in field goal range. You don't have a quarterback that has the arm to get it to the end zone.
Didn't they not have a timeout either?
They had zero timeouts. There was 3 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the funny thing about it is after the game, all three of them took accountability for that, for them to lose on that play. Like, Ramondre's like, yeah, I should have just, like, gone down with the ball. I shouldn't have looked to throw it. And then Jacoby Myers like, yeah, I made a boneheaded play, like, blah, blah. And then Mac Jones is like, yeah, I should have tackled him. Like, they all just, like, owned up to it. And, like, that's just, like, the Patriots way. Like, they're not gonna do what Zach Wilson did. But yeah, just mind-boggling shit. Like, for them to score on those two plays to win the game, like, that is just fucking crazy.
Going back to the picture, it's a little bit closer than I thought it was. Like, the first time you see that touchdown foot picture for Keelan Cole, it looks like he's definitely out. But now looking at it a little bit closer, it looks like it could be... It could go either way. I'm still leaning towards that he was out, but back to this that play. It was just confusing all around. I think the best part of that play though was Mac Jones getting stiff-armed by Chandler.
Oh yeah,
Jones.
Of course.
That was hilarious.
He's got absolutely owned.
Yep. Like, you don't even know anything else from this game besides the touchdown catch and that play. There's
Yeah, I couldn't tell you anything that happened. I know the Patriots were down big in that game. That's all I know.
Yeah, they came. Yeah, they scored 21 points in the second half.
Yep.
Tie it up. But yeah, I mean, Mac Jones, he doesn't have to take much accountability. I'm letting him off the hook. You got Chandler Jones coming at you. I don't expect you to tackle him. Like, you got to try, but I don't expect you to get him on the ground. Ramondre, I think, is the middle at fault because, yeah, why are you pitching it back? But also, you made a solid pitch, a solid lateral that got to your guy. Still boneheaded, but whatever. And then Jacoby Myers, just hold on to the ball. That's all you got to do.
What made you look and see Mac Jones and didn't see any other player? You saw Mac Jones 20 yards behind you. Yeah, you didn't see
Chandler
you.
Jones standing in front of Mac Jones by like a good solid 5 yards or whatever it was, and then decided to throw it.
Like, if that's like, if that happens when you're losing, like, fine. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that it was tied and it just like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the craziest bad endings ever. Like, it wasn't a good ending. It was a good ending for the Raiders, but like, just bad football. Like, it wasn't a great play that was made. It was just a boneheaded play that was made.
But it sure was entertaining. So,
of course.
I mean,
and I think honestly now, I think that pretty much like eliminates the Patriots from the playoffs.
It's pretty close.
I know that they're like still in it because they're 7-7, but that's tough to come from behind. To like, I'm pretty sure I'm not totally positive, but I'm pretty sure they got to play the Bengals, the Dolphins, and the Bills to finish out their season.
Yeah, it's something insane.
I don't know. That's a tough schedule. That's three, at least two inferior opponents in the AFC. And then you got,
you mean superior?
Superior, whatever. What did I say?
Inferior.
Is that not a good word?
Inferior means they're less than you. They're worse.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
What is the word I was looking for? Not
superior.
Superior. Is that what I was looking for? Whatever. Either way, the Dolphins are just out of them, but you got two teams that are looked at as favorites in the AFC. And you got to probably have to win. You have to at least beat the Dolphins, and you have to somehow win another one to even have a shot at making the playoffs. It's not looking like, and you still, I mean, you do have the tiebreaker over the Jets, which is good. But yeah, it looks like you kind of just have to beat the Dolphins and win another game and then have some hope that the Dolphins lose again. So, and they might not even get in then if they have the same record as the Dolphins with a head to head. Because they lost to them in the beginning of the season. They might not even have the head-to-head. So, yeah, who knows? But definitely looking like the Patriots are going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, if your hope is on the Dolphins, I wouldn't get too hopeful then, because Dolphins play at home versus the Packers, on the road against the Patriots, and then at home against the Jets. So, obviously, Jets, Patriots, those are going to be tighter games. Maybe even the Packers, too. I don't know. But those are easily winnable for – they're not for sure winnable games, but they're definitely winnable games for the Dolphins. I don't see them slipping up more than once.
Yeah, no, not. Probably not.
Next game we got Cowboys-Jaguars. What the hell happened here? Cowboys lose 34-40 to Jacksonville.
Yeah, definitely could see this coming. Jacksonville plays teams very well, no matter how good they are at home. You saw it last year with the Bills. You've seen it this year already with the Ravens. And Cowboys blow a 17-0 lead in the second half. Or 17-point lead, not 17-0, 17-point lead. In the second half. And yeah, Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence playing out of his mind in like the last month. Zay Jones, like him and Christian Kirk have just been a 1-2 combo.
Oh yeah.
And then you add Evan Engram in there. Like, they kind of have a prolific passing attack. Travis Etienne had a big game, hasn't really shown much in the last couple weeks, but he had a big game this week. Yeah, and it's starting to seem like I've seen it all over the place. Like, Dak Prescott is like turning the ball over in very, very unfortunate situations, and that are costing the Cowboys these games. Obviously, this one. But what happened to the Cowboys having this prolific defense that is unstoppable? It feels like these last couple of weeks they've really struggled defensively to hold teams down, to, or just like play good defense, hold these teams to be able to, and then like they're scoring enough, like 34 points is enough, but
oh, for sure.
You got to think that their defense, guys, they got one sack on Trevor Lawrence. Like, I don't know how much pressure they're getting on him the whole game, but one sack in, you're supposed to be one of the most, you're supposed to have one of the best defensive lines in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just honestly, just, yeah, they're like, just their defense has got to start stepping up. That's what they've said they want to be prideful on. And at that point, you're up 17-0, like, what, run the ball. Like, it was like, was that not working for you? You got to run the ball. That's like the identity of your team. You got a good 1-2 punch with Pollard and Zeke. But definitely a game the Cowboys needed to win, especially like they win this game. You got Jalen Hurts out now. They beat
the Cowboys. Chance of the division.
For you got the chance of the division now. Now it's gone. Like, it's almost out the window. They have to win out, and the Eagles have to lose out for them to win the division. It's pretty much out the window. Like, at this point, that's kind of what I see it as, at least. I mean, pretty much everyone does. It's pretty low probability, but you definitely had a good shot at the division because they play the Eagles, and they got to play the Titans, and then they play at home against the Commanders. Oh no, they don't play on the road against Commanders. But those are three winnable games now, and then you got the Eagles, who still have a divisional opponent that they have to play. Pretty sure the Cowboys just needed to finish with the same record as the Eagles, and they would have had the one seed, or the division at least. So, if not the one seed, actually, no, they would get the one seed then. They would have got the one seed, but now,
yeah.
Now it's looking like they're not going to get that. And they're not going to win the division either. So it's probably going to be the Cowboys traveling to the NFC South winner. They still clinched a playoff berth, even with a loss.
This
is the saddest thing ever. Just because the Giants Commanders game finished in I honestly just think it needed to finish not in tie, I think is what it was.
Huh.
I don't know how that works, but that it was up to the Commanders and Giants. So I don't know. Cowboys gotta figure their shit out. I know they're still 10-4, but
they're inconsistent 10-4.
Yeah, because they struggled against the Texans last week, and then they had a huge lead against our Jaguars this week, and then they blew it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny to think, because at the beginning of the season, we were like, oh yeah, Jaguars, they could totally win the division. And the last like 2 months happened, and we were like, oh no, they're totally out of it. And now they're back to being, they could win this thing. They could win the AFC South.
I am praying for that, for it to stay the same, and for that last game of the season be for the division. That'd be awesome.
I wanted to also, because it's in Jacksonville. You got to play the Jets on the road on Thursday night, which is not going to be easy. But still, all of these are winnable games, I feel. Jaguars at Texans, I feel like this could be a shootout, because Jacksonville will play down to Houston.
The thing is, all you need, you don't even need to win out towards or win the next two games. You just have to be one game below the Titans to have a chance.
Yep, and then you just need to beat the Titans at home.
Yeah.
So
just think about that. Week 18, Sunday Night Football, Titans at Jags.
And then Jacksonville raises the banner. AFC 2022 AFC South champions. Ooh. That would be pretty funny. But yeah. Dallas didn't come through for me for booking with beef last week. That's all right.
Yeah, I didn't. I saw that on yours, and I really did not like that pick.
I thought it so much. The Texans played the Cowboys so close that Dallas was gonna be like, all right, we gotta get back out there and kick some butt. But they obviously,
I did not do that. It's hard to bet against the
Jaguars at home.
So hard
against a good team. That's the
only team I feel like they haven't covered against at home is the Giants early in the season.
Yep, because like, we had them.
Yeah. They were underdogs, the Giants, weren't they? When we did that? I think they were.
No, I think they were favorites.
Were they?
Wait, no, it was underdogs. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they were like plus three or something like that. Yeah,
it was
that.
Plus three because that was the best value or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, they cover a lot at home, and they play teams tough. But then they go on the road, and it's like sometimes they look like shit. Like they got killed by the Lions. Then they absolutely dominate the Titans on the road. It's like they're a weird team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of weird losses, a lot of weird wins. But yeah, just that's one thing I'm looking forward to. Hopefully, week 17. Like, it just because of how stupid it sounds. Like the Titans and the Jags for the division. Like something you probably think you'd never hear.
Yeah, the Titans are just kind of throwing their season away recently. Oh, so
yeah. Yeah, they are.
They're not doing too hot, but I don't think we don't need to go over the game because it wasn't that important, I don't feel.
I think the Chargers probably cemented their playoff spot, though, if anything, from that game. Like, I don't think they have a very tough schedule to finish out. Pretty sure they got to play at Denver. They have to play the Raiders again, I think. And then they play the Rams.
Colts versus Rams at Denver.
So, yeah, it's not very hard. Not very hard schedule. They could easily finish that 3-0.
How full is the stadium going to be on that Sunday night for Rams Chargers? There's no opposing team.
Dude, that's going to be crazy.
Oh, wait. I think I heard that they're trying to give away the tickets. That's right.
No, that was the Denver
Rams
game, yeah.
Oh, I think they should do it for this game too, cuz that's
brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two teams that get no fans.
I feel like people should just, I don't know. There needs to be a team in LA, but there doesn't need to be two.
It'll be like the Super Bowl where there'll just be a bunch of random fans from other teams that show up to that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Just see how many jerseys you can spot from different teams.
Like, there was like fucking, there was people at the Packers game tonight with Bengals shit on.
I saw the Vikings game. There was like a dude with an Edelman jersey, and then there was like an Antonio Gates jersey in the crowd, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, just like weird.
They have nothing to do with this game, but okay, you do you.
Yep.
This game is going to help with your claim here, Jack. Chiefs, Texans. Chiefs win 30-24 in overtime somehow.
Yep. Like I said, I think this team is frauds, and I think this is a big game that showed it. Patrick Mahomes played out of his mind. He had like five incompletions, threw for over 300 yards, and they still won this game, had to win this game in overtime. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you let the Texans? I know that they just played good against the Cowboys, but I thought the Chiefs were a better team than the Cowboys. I don't know if they are now. I've been saying this for a while, and I think this is a great game to back it up. Chiefs are frauds. They are not as good as their record says. I know that's the stupidest thing, like, oh, you're as good as your record is. Like, I think in this case, it's not. I've watched way too many Chiefs games, like I've talked about. They're not as good as they were. They record says they play teams close. Other teams make a bunch of mental mistakes. And I don't even know if it was mental mistakes this game. It might have just been the Texans put a good
Davis Mills fumbled the game away in overtime.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was gonna say they could have put a drive to get. Yeah, Davis Mills fumbled. So you have other teams miscues. Like, I mean, yeah, you forced the fumble, but Davis Mills, I don't know how you just don't like go down there or something or protect the ball. So it's not even like they put together a drive. So there's no reason why you should play. I know that it was on the road, but there's still no reason why the Texans should play you this close.
No,
not even a little.
If you're a Super Bowl caliber team, aka the Cowboys and the Chiefs, you should not be squeaking out games against the lowly Houston Texans, a team that is holding on for the number one overall draft spot. I don't know if I missed something, but I don't know why Jeff Driskel came.
They did that the week before where they brought Jeff Driskel in.
And then Phil Dorsett threw a pass, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, like it doesn't even look like the Chiefs. They look like they had a very solid game offensively. Mahomes, great. Rushing attack, not amazing, but still very solid. Receiving, off the charts. I didn't watch this game, obviously. Couldn't tell, but like, did their defense just suck it up that bad? Like, 24 points to give up is not bad, but to the Texans it is. So, like, I don't know what went wrong here for the Chiefs that they had to squeak it out.
Yeah, I honestly think that these last 2 weeks, how the Texans have played, the Cowboys and the Chiefs, like, there's like six teams that have been speculated about, like, who is like contending for the Super Bowl. You got the Bills, the Bengals, the Chiefs, and the AFC, and then you got the Eagles, the 49ers, and the Cowboys. I honestly think that, like, I know it's crazy to say, but I think these last 2 weeks that from what the Texans have done, I think you can eliminate the Chiefs and the Cowboys from that. I think it's down. I think it's like a four-team race for the Super Bowl.
I think you keep the Chiefs in there. Like, I know they're not playing up to what they should be, but Mahomes is still Mahomes with Kelce and a solid defense. So I'm not counting them out quite yet out of that conversation. Maybe another bad week.
Still think I would put the Bengals ahead of them and the Bills ahead of them.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
The Bengals defense is fucking ridiculous.
They've been playing off the charts lately. Moving on, we got the Saturday night game, Bills Dolphins in Orchard Park, 3 feet of snow. Buffalo wins 32-29 on a last second Tyler Bass field goal.
Yeah, respect from the Dolphins. They came to play in this game. They were getting after Josh Allen all night. Josh Allen had, I haven't seen him face this much pressure, like, in a long time. Like, he was running for his life most of this game. Tua played well after a horrible week the week before. I'm trying to think of what happened. I don't even know. Did they turn the ball over? No, they didn't turn the ball over. At the end, they just gave him the ball back. But I mean, that's what championship teams do. Don't play the greatest. Struggle a little bit, but they made the plays at the end of the game to put themselves in a position to win. And I mean, they came out on top. Josh Allen didn't play amazing. Diggs, not as great of a game. I couldn't tell if the weather really had an effect with it, but if anything, if weather had an effect on this game, I think the Dolphins would have really struggled, and they really didn't. Obviously, Bills playoffs. Don't know if they have that much of a tough schedule to miss or lose the one seed.
Bears, Bengals, Patriots.
Yeah, that Bengals game is crucial because thing is, I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose a game the rest of the way. And if they lose that game to the Bengals, they'll lose the one seed to the
Chiefs.
What?
You would just hate that.
Oh, dude, I'm going to fucking...
cry?
I wouldn't cry. I'd be so pissed, though. It just bothers me so much. Like, I've said it before, like, The fact that Patrick Mahomes hasn't had to play one road playoff game just pisses me the fuck off. It just fucking, oh my God, it pisses me off. Like, yeah, he's like, I know he's great and everything, but I would just like to see him go into a fucking hostile environment and play a game. Like, just play a playoff game, because he hasn't had to do it. He's had to play at home in front of his home crowd. And guess what? He's only made it to fucking two Super Bowls out of what? Three or no, four AFC, AFC, no, five. Is it five now? Four or five in a row now?
I think it's four.
Four.
Since 2018.
Well, how, what year is he in now? What year is he in now?
Is he like a fifth year?
Is it his fifth 17? Year or six? 17. So he sat 1 year. Then he started.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. So they lost the Bengals, the Chiefs, and the Patriots in the AFC title games. They lost anyone else? I don't think so. Either way, they've pretty much had it easy in the playoffs. Like, it's just, it's, I want them to, yeah, so that's one thing I'm not going to look forward to. But I don't, what were we talking about? I have no idea.
Bills Dolphins still.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just want Bills just win out. No, let's just get the one seed down. Locked. Don't have to worry about it. I want everyone to have to go through Buffalo, because Buffalo is just a statistically, it's just an advantage. They just play so much better there. Definitely an advantage to everyone. Bro, did you see that? You didn't see that video because I didn't send it to you on TikTok, but this guy was trying to say that Buffalo needs a fucking roof over their stadiums.
You told me.
Yeah, it was fucking stupid.
I somewhat agree, but I just think the walls need to be a little bit higher.
That's not going to do anything.
If it blocks the snow from blowing in, if the walls are somewhat higher. Because I like the design of their new stadium where it has, looks like lumen. It looks like Lumen Field in Seattle, where you got, where the roof is covering the fans, but the playing surface is still exposed. I think that's the best thing that Buffalo can do.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, Dolphins kind of going down the wrong path, but I still think they have a pretty decent shot at making the playoffs.
I think, let's see, who they got to finish out the year with. Oh, yeah, Packers, Patriots, Jets. Yep. Yeah, this was a good game. I didn't get to watch too much of it, unfortunately. But both teams played good.
Raheem Mostert, see a single bit of it. So
Raheem Mostert had a great game. After, I forgot who it was, someone told on the TV told people to bench him. So, sorry, Dad. He probably got knocked out of his playoffs because of that. And also Dawson Knox. He had him on his team too and on the bench.
Okay, Dawson Knox fucking sucked all year.
He basically got a quarter of his season yards in this game, 98.
Probably his fantasy points as well.
Probably.
Because he had two touchdowns, didn't he?
He had one touchdown.
Oh.
But everybody, the offenses were playing great. I think though the Bills defense isn't that scary if you can keep your quarterback upright. That secondary does not scare me that much.
I think it's still really good.
It's still good, but like if you got a good wide receiver core, it might be game over for them, because
I think the only one besides the Dolphins that can compete with that with a good wide receiver core is the Bengals.
Yeah.
Do you think the Dolphins are a scary team if they come out of the wild card against any team?
Yes. Because I think Mike McDaniel is kind of, I don't know, this might be weird. This might not make sense at all. But I feel like Mike McDaniel is kind of like the nerd version of Dan Campbell. Like, he gets his team to play gritty and tough, but he uses more analytical sides of it. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. Okay. It's kind of weird, but it makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, he gets his team to fight for him every week.
I don't think that's the first time I've ever heard that either, though. So it's not that weird.
He gets his team to fight for him every week. He's obviously, his players respect him. Like, I don't know if you've seen that video. Whereas, like, last year when Brian Flores was the coach, like, Tua was only giving, like, one-word responses to him. But this year, like, he's saying, like, full things to Mike McDaniel inside, like, in between plays and stuff like that on the sideline. So he's definitely built a culture of respect there, but also it's very laid back. Like, obviously, him wearing the I wish it was colder shirt was amazing. And I think his players really enjoyed that. And so if he's going to get his team to compete for him. And that's not a team I'd want to face in the playoffs, because I think they're a very well-rounded team. Like, obviously, most playoff teams are, but Dolphins in particular seem like they're going to be very good.
Yeah. Bro, how much money did you win tonight? You had two bets cash.
$48. I was three away from the eight-legger.
Yeah, I mean, mine were close. I was like 10 rushing yards from Dylan, 4 receiving yards from Watson, 3 from Jefferson. Ben Skowronek, I should have just never done the over. That was just dumb. But I was kind of close, even though I missed it by 4.
All right, next game, Lions-Jets in the Meadowlands. Lions fighting to get back to 500. Jets looking to stay above 500. And the Lions win 20-17.
Yeah, Zach Wilson really only made one mistake. I have a feel. I don't know. You still think they go back to Mike White after this week? If he gets cleared to play,
he's not going to get cleared because they're already preparing.
Well, no, I know. I'm talking about the week after this week, because they already said that Zach Wilson's going to start again.
Probably. With him playing right now, is Joe Flacco hurt?
No, Flacco's just ass.
Right. But with him playing, it makes the whole situation before more confusing, because now I don't think his time is up in New York. Because
if he wins this next game, do you think they have a chance? Do you think he starts after that? Plus, like, do you put an injured quarterback out there even though? Like, that's tough. I don't know. Either way, like, he didn't
play horrible. I still feel like Mike White gives you your best chance to win.
Yeah, he didn't play horrible. Made one bad mistake. But it's kind of just a defensive game. Like, I'm surprised. The Detroit Lions defense has been playing a lot better of late. And their offense struggled against this Jets defense, which, understandable. Jets defense is really good. But they made just enough plays, and I don't know how the Jets let a tight end run 45 some yards or whatever it was for a touchdown on 4th and inches wide open. I don't understand that. I don't know how that's possible, especially the backup tight end. It wasn't even I don't even know who their main tight end is. I don't know. Either way.
Yeah. I've never heard of Brock Wright before.
You know, I've heard of him, but it's just like, how do you let that happen? Being a good defense like that, but kind of demoralizing, because it looked like they were probably going to win this game. But
Now that the Vikings are done with the Lions for the season, I'm rooting for them all the way.
I am, but also, would you be scared to face the Lions in the first round?
Not as much, since it would be at US Bank.
Yeah, I mean, neither, but like, just because it's divisional, we've already played them. They know what to do against us. That's the only thing that would make me nervous. Even though we've actually played every single team that's in the playoffs right now, or that would make the playoffs, besides Seattle. Never mind. It doesn't really make a difference.
It would be the rubber match, and it would be first time, obviously, Jefferson didn't do anything, but then the next time he went off for basically a career day. So
it was a franchise day.
It was a franchise record. Yeah, that's right. So you'd have to see if the Lions really know how to lock him down or not. But, there was just not really too much offense. Passing was all right. Rushing wasn't anything special from either team. It's impressive when you hold a team's, like, the leading rusher for a team gets held to 23 yards. Like, you don't see that too much.
Who was that? The Jets running back?
Zonovan Knight.
Zonovan Knight.
Yeah. So, I mean, Lions, they're looking pretty scary. They're getting hot at the right time. Going to be interesting to see how they finish out the year because they got at
but Panthers. They don't even need that much help either, though. That's what's the crazy thing. Because what? The Commanders are one. They're the same amount of wins, but they have the tie. Right?
Give me one moment. Commanders, let's see, the Lions are 7-7 now. Commanders are 7-6-1.
Yeah, so you only really need that. You need to win one more game than the Commanders do. Commanders have to finish. I think they play the 49ers this week.
Mm-hmm.
They have to play the Cowboys at home. I don't know who they play after that.
Browns at home.
Oof.
It's those are 49ers, Browns, Cowboys.
So they could easily lose two out of those three games. Then you need is the Lions to win two out of three, which they play at Carolina, at home against the Bears, and at the Packers. Those are definitely all winnable games for the Lions. So,
oh yeah,
Lions also need the Seahawks to lose, but I also see that happening. They need to lose. They need to finish with a better record than the Seahawks because the Seahawks have the tiebreaker.
Yep,
but.
Oh, Lions set like week four game or whatever it was.
Yeah, dude, my Lions record prediction looking really good right now.
What's it? 7-10. Oh, it's 9-8.
Yeah, 9-8.
That is looking nice. I think if you get it, then me and Andrew will just be on either side of you because I think I did 7-10. And he did like 10-7. I think it was.
Yeah,
it was. I know we all thought it was absurd.
I'm pretty sure I had them making the playoffs too.
I think you had them as the eight, if I remember correctly.
Oh yeah, maybe I did. Either way, I just had them close. I had them in the hunt. You see what the Monday night's been doing with like the in the hunt stuff. Like, call me maybe this week. What the fuck was that? Easily the worst one.
ESPN has always been weird with their graphics, though.
I like sniffing around, though, has got to be the best one.
Who would they do that for?
That was the first week they started doing the weird one.
Oh.
The changes. They did loitering last week.
I did see that.
That's weird. Loitering, that's kind of funny.
Or whatever it was.
No, it was just loitering. It didn't even say loitering around. It just said loitering.
I don't know if the person that comes up with those should have a pay raise or be fired.
I don't know. They're trying too much, I think. But Lions on the come up, Jets kind of faltering at the wrong time.
Both New York teams not looking too hot right now.
I mean, I definitely think the Giants are looking fine. I don't think you could really say that. I think it'd be pretty hard for them to miss the playoffs at this point. With the other teams there, they would have to. They have the tiebreaker over the Commanders now. They don't have the tiebreaker over the Seahawks, but they already have another win against them. They have a win. They have a win over the Lions, like in the record wise, they lost to the Lions. But Giants are sitting pretty, I think, now, honestly.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, we got two more games here. We're doing the Monday night game, Rams at Packers. I feel like it was pretty uneventful, but still,
so bad.
24-12 win for Green Bay.
Yeah. What was I gonna say? Oh, dude, I'm so. Why? Like, why do they have to? Like, it's so fucking annoying. The Packers are so dead. Like, they have no chance, dude. And they're like, they just keep. They're like, oh my god, there's still a chance. They gotta win out and blah blah. It's like. They have to play the Dolphins next week. And they have to play the Vikings after that. And they have to play the Lions. Their schedule is fucking hard to finish the year. And they're like, oh, they just got to win out. It's like, dude, it's like, let's stop. Like, it's the fucking Packers. Like, we get it. They've been good for a while, but just let it go. They're not making the playoffs this year.
It just bothers me so much that they are still talking, like, still so annoying that they just keep getting this buzz. It's like they fucking are 6-8. 9-8 is maybe not even going to make the playoffs right now. Because the Lions could win out, and then they might not even make, they might not even, they'd be 10-7. So it's like, this shit with the fucking Packers needs to stop. The Rams just look helpless.
Yep.
The extra week of Baker just didn't look anything of any of good at all, any good at all. You can tell the Packers played very desperate this game. They defense played very well. The offense still, I mean, I guess it played pretty well. They were on their way to scoring another touchdown. They finished the game. They also had a fumble, but offense didn't play too bad. They definitely ran the ball a lot more than they have been doing recently, which is what they got to do. But I'm just sick and tired of this fucking, all the Packers are still alive in the playoffs. Shit. It's fucking annoying.
This game was unnecessarily chippy. I don't understand why it was. Like, I know you got Jalen Ramsey on one side, but it just seemed like it was weirdly competitive considering the Rams have nothing to play for, not even a draft spot. And then the Packers, like, they need lots of stuff to go right to make the playoffs. So it was just, like, unnecessary, I think. But Packers maybe starting to find somewhat of an offensive rhythm. Not that one Rodgers pick was beautiful to see, though. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was just a horrible pass.
Like, I know that, I know, like, they were trying to say, like, oh, yeah, it was a miscommunication because, like, Lazard sat down in the zone when Rodgers thought he was going to keep going.
How do you communicate on a play like that? Like, that's not a communication.
Because I think his route is supposed to go, like, all the way up.
Well, yeah, of course, but Lazard also read the defense, and yeah. Rodgers didn't.
Yep.
So, Rodgers' fault there.
Completely. Oh, yeah, yeah, like, he just airmailed him. But Aaron Jones, good game. Unfortunate that A.J. Dillon went out. He looked like he was having a solid game. But, yeah, I mean, the Rams, big far cry from what they were last year. Just it's sad. It's very sad to see.
Just like the most injured team ever. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they lost their center tonight. Like, they lost another offensive lineman.
Is he out for the year?
I don't know, but they lost.
I just know he went out on, like, the second, first, yeah, it was first or second play of the game.
Yeah, he didn't come back, I don't think. Because their center was having horrible snaps the entire game. Baker was, like, jumping for the ball a lot. It's kind of funny. But
just get the Rams out of here. Just put
them- I still think that next year, though, the Rams got to stop fucking around and just, like, let Cam Akers be the running back one. Like,
Cam Akers needs to decide that he wants to be there. First off,
I think he does. Look at him now. He's, like, playing with actual, like, intent. Like, he's running the ball so well. Like, in what area of, like, ever was there a concern, or like where did they ever think, like, oh, Daryl Henderson is better running back than Cam Akers? Like, no, we've seen this multiple times before. Even fucking when he came back, he had that injury. He came back and was prolific in the playoffs and was easily better than Daryl Henderson. And they're like, I don't know, maybe we should start him. Like, no, what? Like, he fumbled a couple times, but he's still the better back. And it shows. Daryl Henderson's not even on the fucking team anymore.
He's not even on the Jaguars anymore.
No, he's a fucking free agent because he's not good. Daryl Henderson is not a good NFL running back. He is literally mid. And most time, mid is not really going to get you on a team. Unless you're the Houston Texans, who still have Rex Burkhead as one of their running backs.
And Eno Benjamin.
Eno Benjamin is better than Daryl Henderson. Actually, no, they don't have Eno Benjamin. They just cut him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So now he's just sitting. He's another free agent. Yeah. Darn.
Yeah.
sad to see the Rams fall like this, but I mean, look at their team. They have two of their two top receivers out. They're starting quarterback out. Fucking four of the five offensive linemen are out. It's just, and then they're Aaron Donald's out. They have a starting safety. I think that's out. Corner that's out. Just hell. It's just hell. One thing for the Rams though, dude, Jalen Ramsey's easily the best covering, defensive or not covering tackling defensive back in the league, and it's not even fucking close.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he is easily the best tackling corner in the league, or defensive back even. Maybe I would say AJ Dillon got absolutely stood up by him at the goal line. Jalen Ramsey put him in his fucking place. Then fucking Aaron Jones was easily had the edge on Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen Ramsey just like grabbed him, like had barely any grasp on him, and just absolutely bitched him, fucking easily tackled him. Jalen Ramsey, like if you watch him, he's easily the most physical, one of the most physical corners in the league, but his tackling is like so fucking good.
Yeah,
and you just don't get away from him, and that's one thing I think that goes under like. Under the radar with him is his tackling, and his tackling is fucking insane. Like, he doesn't miss, really. He rarely misses.
Yeah, because as a cornerback, people are going to look more at your coverage skills, which he's still a super good coverage person.
Yeah, he's had a bad year this year, but, like, yeah. I think there's more to blame than just him. Like, all around him's been bad.
He's kind of like a hybrid between, like, a strong safety and a cornerback. It's insane. I don't know if you can really say that about anybody else.
I feel like he could honestly turn into like Charles Woodson, where he like went from corner to safety.
He probably could.
And he could just be just as good.
That'd be something to think about like later in his career.
Yeah. Because isn't that what Charles Woodson did? He went from corner to safety.
I am not quite sure.
I'm not either, but I think that's maybe, yeah, that would make more sense. Why would you go from corner or safety to corner? That doesn't make sense because you're going to get slower at the end of your career.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Colts, Vikings. What a game. I don't know really how to describe it. Largest comeback in NFL history, down 3-3. Vikings win 39-36 in overtime.
This is a where were you moment in NFL history. Like, you, this is something I'll remember for the rest of my life. Like, this game is etched in history for me. It's just a whirlwind of emotion. Just watching the team look like absolute shit in the first half, and then you like the second half, you're like, you're just like, oh my god, just come out and score some points, please. Like, this is just depressing. And then, you know, they score the one touchdown, and they score the second one. And then you get that little feeling inside, you're like, there's still
the script writers are at work.
Yeah, there's still a full quarter left. Jefferson scores like 10 minutes left. I'm like, dude, they're coming back. There's no fucking way. And then you have Rager, who just stops running. They threw the pick. And I still was like, dude, they haven't pinned. Like, we can easily get the ball back, score. And then literally we have everything go wrong. Like, they didn't even want us. The refs, I don't think want us to win at that point because they were so bad. Like, I'm not going to complain because we won. But, like, they definitely, like, I mean, I'm obviously going to complain a little bit, but they definitely, like, the game easily could have been way closer, faster, if it wasn't.
We should have won in regulation about the touchdown stud.
We should have. They really, I mean, that's one thing that I was like, so that Michael Pittman one, I don't know how they ruled that forward progress stopped
because they blew it way too quick.
Or and then the thing is that bothered me so much is that you have Zach Moss, the previous drive or whatever, or something like that, is at the goal line. He's standing there like they haven't stood up for 5 seconds. They finally blow the whistle, and then he lunges forward into the end zone. Like, obviously, his forward progress is stopped. Michael Pittman was fucking standing there for maybe a second. He was still inching forward because he was still in the momentum. Ball gets ripped out. They fucking blow the whistle like when he's in the end zone, saying like he that
that it's he was forward progress rule stopped. And that's the dumbest thing ever, is that they can't review that shit. Like, there should be like a time, like there should be like something with forward progress where there's like a time that he is not moving forward and it should be stopped, because he was still moving forward, and like maybe he was stopped for like a second, maybe two, and then the ball got stripped. It wasn't even close. And then you got the one, the fucking fumble, dude standing straight up in the air, like straight up in the air. Ball gets punched out easily, not even close. Like, and Chandon Sullivan runs it back for what should have been his second fumble return touchdown of the game. That gets called back because he was down by contact. And then he gets pissed off, throws his helmet, which I would too. And because he threw his helmet, the it gets overturned to a fumble, but somehow it doesn't count as a touchdown because he threw his helmet on the ground after the play was over.
It was because the forward progress has stopped, and once the whistle is blown, he can't return it.
No. I'm talking about the second one.
I know it's, but even still, like, they blew it dead on the field, and you can't return it once the whistle has been blown on the field.
That's just fucking dumb.
Like, I know people have been saying, like, the refs, you're trained to let the play go and see what happens, and then have the replay booth either overturn it and say he was down, or let it stand and be a touchdown.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what should have happened. Might be one of, like, not like penalty wise, but like just the way they called the game might be one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it was not very good. The refs overall seemed to have a pretty tough weekend this week.
Yeah, but that game, I mean, if that game I would have been pissed if it ended a tie. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, oh, yeah, I would have rather lost.
I still hate, but there's no, it's not 15 minutes. It's only 10 in overtime.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Ties just don't do anything for me. They wreck it for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, if anything, like in the regular season, it should just be college overtimes.
Mm-hmm. Even, you don't even need the touchdown. Just do 2-point conversions back to back to back.
Yeah. And the fact that fucking like a tie is a benefit to you, or whatever, because you couldn't win. Like, the Commanders and Giants will probably, one of them will make the playoffs because of their tie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking dumb. It's so dumb. But we got out of there with the win. The Colts are just a fucking awful team. Like, there is no reason why you should ever blow a lead like this. Especially when, okay, actually, I can't say that, because they definitely could have, because their offense was not impressive even in the first half, but they had two non-offensive touchdowns. Their offense, that our defense, like, I know this sounds crazy, played a phenomenal game. They stopped them to how many field goals was that in the first half? They scored three touchdowns. Four field goals in the first, and one offensive touchdown, which I'm pretty sure, I don't know when that was. Either way, it was, I don't know if it was after
a passing the Dalvin touchdown Cook fumble. To I don't Deion
remember if it was,
Jackson.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was after the Dalvin fumble or not. But either way, you stop them to one offensive touchdown, and then the second half you give it three total points. The defense played absolutely out of their minds for how much they were on the field to even give us a chance to win this game. But yeah, just absolutely crazy game. I mean, fuck. Like, that's a game where if you're there, you're seriously thinking about leaving. Because, especially after they go 3-and-out to start the second half. But, I mean, my dad and his buddies were there. Parker was there. They all decided to stay. Craziest shit ever. Like, I don't know.
If it was other sport, I probably would have left.
Oh, easily. There's no chance anyone's coming back from that. I mean, hockey, I guess. Yeah, depends.
But
yeah,
like, depends on where you are, but basketball and baseball, I've been out of there.
Oh, easily, yeah. Well, yeah, like hockey, if you're down like 4 goals in the start of the third, maybe I could see it. But
yeah,
it's something you don't even think about. Like, most people would never think to stay. I mean, people who did though, like, go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's crazy. It's like, that's like multiple times. That's like twice now. Like, my dad, they thought about leaving. Like,
we were so close to leaving before the Minneapolis Miracle. They were close to leaving because I wasn't there this game. They were close to leaving at this game. Two games like in history, like that, like you know people that like are close to leaving. There's people that left these games and they didn't even get to experience it.
Yep.
Good to see Jackie finally got to meet her. Got to meet JJ. Fucking sick. Definitely was. If we would have let her down that bad, that would have sucked. But she got to witness that, which was pretty cool. But yeah,
Just
great. It was just a great day.
Yeah, obviously this game didn't start out the greatest. I was driving back home, so I didn't get to see. I think it was most of the first quarter, and I was like, oh, the Colts have kicked a field goal to go ahead. And then Vikings get the ball forced to have a three out. Oh, the ball is popped in the air and the Colts get it for a touchdown. And then what else? There was one other thing. Oh, it's the Deion.
Dalvin fumbled,
and then Deion Jackson or whatever his name is. Yep. Got the receiving touchdown, and Paul Allen was just so sad. And it was kind of funny to hear, because since he's this very exuberant person. But like, I was just like, oh, this is just a repeat of the Cowboys game against a worse opponent.
That's what would have made it worse.
Yep. And I was like, oh, this is awful. I texted Peavon at halftime, you gotta get out of there. He shot me down, so good on him. And then it was like, once I thought the momentum was starting to shift when KJ had that big opportunity for the big play, but then they overturned it. I was like, yeah, that was probably a drop. But then once he got that other big, like 67 yarder catch, I was like, okay. And then obviously kept building, got it. Dalvin's screen to tie the game was, I don't know how you let that happen.
Yeah, honestly. I don't know.
That was crazy. But yeah, it was just an emotional roller coaster. Let's talk about that fake punt. That was awful.
Right call. Actually, no, it wasn't. No. You were down how much at what time? Yeah. You were down so much. You might as well just give it to the offense at that point if you're going to do it.
I like that call on fourth and 10, not fourth and like three.
They already did that at like what? They already did that in the first half when they were down 17-0, right? Remember that? They were down 17-0, and then we went forward on our own 31 at fourth and one when we did that CJ Ham end around.
Oh, is that by when far, he got his 1 yard?
Yeah. It got short. By far one of the worst fourth down plays I've ever seen in my life. You have what looks like what Penei Sewell did last week, where he's running in motion. You give him the ball on an end around, like your fullback. Like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, you either give that to your wide receiver, or you fake it to him. You don't give it to your fullback there. Just a dumb fourth down play. But as you were saying,
but yeah, this was KJ's career breakout game. 10 receptions for 157 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah,
that was a beautiful thing to see. Obviously, I think most people agree with this, that it's the beginning of the end for Adam Thielen as the number two wide receiver of the Minnesota Vikings.
Like, I hope that happens. Like, as sad as, like, the thing is, I think Adam Thielen would be better as a three.
Yeah, I hope we don't cut him. I know someone we should cut him to free up cap space and all that stuff. No, keep him.
I could see that. I could definitely see it at the end of this, and during the offseason, though.
I could too, but I think he's such an emotional leader of this team. I think you got to keep him.
We also did let Kyle Rudolph go, though, too, and he was a huge piece of the team, too. Like, I know he wasn't as good, but he was like a foundational, like, captain of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And we let him go. So wouldn't be surprised, especially in a new regime too.
Yeah, that's true.
They let a guy like Adam Thielen go. Like, as sad as it seems, it definitely is a possibility, like a very big possibility.
Justin
Jefferson. He's getting paid a lot too. Sorry. No, he's getting paid a lot.
Justin Jefferson had another stellar game, 123 yards. Dalvin Cook was doing it all. 95 yards on the ground, 95 yards through the air. That's crazy. CJ Ham actually getting some touches, which is funny. He scored another touchdown. Career high for touchdowns in the season with two. But this mate, it still looks like TJ Hockenson does not know the offense at all.
What do you mean?
Like, each time he goes in motion, it looks like he does not know where to set up.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe he's still figuring it out. Who knows?
He might, because, like, I know, I'm assuming Kevin O'Connell probably has a more complicated offense since he comes from Sean McVay's coaching tree.
Yeah. But,
like, each week he's kind of regressing a little bit. It's like we still won the
trade. I think it's literally just because I still think it's, I don't think he's regressing. I think it's literally just because our offense was so bad and our wide receivers were open in the second half. I don't think it was him. I mean, he did catch a 2-point play and he was wide open.
So. Yep. So happy he didn't drop that one. Good catch there. But yeah, it was just overall, I know on the radio in the first half, or like the first quarter, they were like, Eric Kendricks has got to sit out now, because they said he was like limping or something like that. And I was like, oh boy, this is really not going to be our game at all. And then he came in clutch a couple of times. I think that was his first sack on the year. Duke Shelley made a great pass breakup on that one. A couple, I think it actually was.
Yeah. No.
Just after halftime, it was such a good team win. And there's nothing really more to say besides that.
You want to talk about how Cam Dantzler was like a healthy scratch?
Was he? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, he wasn't inactive. He was dressed, and Duke Shelley played over him the entire game.
I mean, I guess Dantzler didn't have the best week against Detroit last week, but still.
Is that like a cause of concern? Like, I don't know. Like, Cam Dantzler is supposed to be our two. Like, he had a very good year last year. Like, advanced stats-wise, he was like, what, top 10 corner last year? I know that sounds crazy, but advanced analytical stats. Yeah, he was a top 10 corner.
He was having a great season.
Yeah, this year for sure, until he got hurt. Like, that definitely fucked everything up. But going back to like the game, like, I don't know if you remember it or like notice, but that one point when we, I don't know if it was a Jalen Reagor end around or whatever, and then it was a TFL, and the guy got
the DeForest Buckner.
No, it wasn't. It was like Odeyinbo or something. It wasn't a Fadi. It wasn't a Fadi. It was the other guy.
Oh.
But they have very similar last names. But this guy, maybe, was it? No, it wasn't a Fadi, I don't think. Either way, number 54, he makes a TFL. He gets up, celebrates, and then he walks over to Jalen Reagor, stands over him. He gets the unsportsmanlike
conduct penalty. That was an awful taunting call.
You thought that was a bad penalty?
I don't know. Like, obviously, you don't know what he said, but
it's the fact that he took the time to walk over towards Jalen Reagor, say something, or like stand over him. That's just unsportsmanlike. You don't need to do that when you're already celebrating. I still
think it was a weak taunting call. I've seen
it's worse. Definitely not, though. It's definitely not. Like, I know that sounds biased as fuck, but. If you ever make, like, they're going to call this every time. If you make the attempt to go out of your way to try to celebrate, that is unsportsmanlike. That
letter of the law, yes, you are right. But taunting. from what we have seen, I feel like other refs would have let that play. Like, he didn't, it wasn't egregious. I will, like,
no, obviously it's not egregious, but that literally, that might be one of the best, like, one of the better things they've done. All game, like, that is what unsportsmanlike is. Like, that is the penalty. They called it right there. That was like one of the only things they did right there. But that was definitely the game. That was a game changing point, because I think that's when the KJ catch happened after that. Because we were going to be at like 2nd and 15 or something like that, something drastic, and then that happens. And I think that KJ had that big catch. So definitely I think that was like the turning point. They were talking about it on KFan today about it.
It was definitely a stupid penalty, whichever way you look at it.
By him or just in general?
That's why I said by whatever way you look at it. Because if you're a Colts fan, you're probably saying that's not a penalty. But if, like, you also can't do that, so it's a stupid penalty by him.
Yeah.
I still think they need to definitively definitively say what is and what's not a taunt. Because if he made the tackle right there and he didn't walk over and he just kind of stood over him for a moment, then it probably would not be a taunt.
I still think that they, like, anytime, like, a guy, like, most of the time when they stand over a dude, they're going to call it every time.
But I know, like, the announcers were like, oh, he must have said the magic words or whatever to get the penalty. So they didn't think what he did was.
I honestly don't think trash talk even does it unless it's really bad. What are you going to say trash talk wise to actually get a penalty unless it's towards a ref? Like, let's be honest. What are you going to say?
I'm going to murder your family.
Yeah, but like, I don't think anyone's going to say that on the football field.
You never know. So
it's like, I guess I don't know. Maybe they will, but I'm saying if it doesn't ever get to that point of egregiousness, it's your act that gets you the penalty. It's not what you say. Yeah, so I don't know. I know it might have been a little ticky-tack, but if anything, it's literally it's the fact that he took the time out of his celebration to go stand over Jalen Reagor because he made a tackle up 33-0 or 33-0. Yeah. Either way, changing point of the game gave us fresh set of downs, and then the KJ Osborne sparked everything. But yeah.
Yeah.
Just a great game. It's just a roller coaster of events because, like, I was literally just chilling there. Like, we were at my grandma's house, we were baking cookies that day, and I was just chilling on the couch. I was just laughing. It was kind of funny to me. I wasn't even like upset. I was just laughing. I was like, this is hilarious. Like, it can't be this bad. And then we're just like sitting there, like unwrapping like Hershey Kisses for like later or whatever. Like, I was just like, oh, whatever. Like, I was about to turn the game off, and then it's just kind of like, it was kind of like the Buffalo game, but it was even more intense because we were down so much. Like, the fact that we had two games like that where we're so out of it and then we're right back in it and we somehow win these games, just absolutely insane.
Yeah. I still don't know how I feel about us going into the postseason.
I have no idea what to think. I don't even know what to think. Like,
this year is like last year.
Nothing helps me. Nothing helped me from that game be like, oh yeah, we're definitely contending. Like, my expectations did not change based off the game, but what to think, whatever, going into the playoffs now, no idea what to think. It also depends on what these next couple weeks we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know either.
It's going to be intense.
I don't know. During the game, I don't know, I sent it to you guys, obviously, like, I was on Twitter or whatever, and they were, like, shitting on us. Like, people on Twitter were shitting on us. And I tweeted, I responded to a tweet, and I actually got a response from, like, this big blogger at Barstool. So that was twice.
That's who that
I
was.
I tweeted
he was a Barstool blogger.
Yeah, I tweeted, I responded to his tweet. He responded back to me, and then I tweeted at him after the game, and he responded to my tweet again. Plus, the one time he actually responded to me was based off a Big Cat tweet. So I had Big Cat. It was a Big Cat tweet. Then the blogger responded. And then I responded to the blogger on Big Cat's tweet. So kind of a fire day for me, not going to lie. All right. Now we get to the fucking worst part of the episode. Bookie with Beef. Oh, God. I literally just like, I don't even know what to think anymore. It's like, it's honestly mind-boggling how bad I am. Like, I can't believe, like, 3 weeks ago I was like, oh, we're getting in the right direction or whatever. And, like, because I went 3-2 somehow. I don't even go 3-2. Oh, the under hit in that game. Is it in the bank and the Packers cover the spread? Oh, yeah. Either way, fucking just absolute dog shit. 0-5 again. Obviously, we didn't have an episode, but yes, I've gone over 5 2 weeks in a row now, and I think this is my third 0-5 week now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, 3 0-5s. Holy shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go 2-3, Brandon?
2-3, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, like I said, Dallas didn't help me out.
What I would do to go 2-3.
What I do?
What I would do to go 2-3. That's a momentum swing there for me. Under 500, like anything under or better than 0-5 right now is like a win for me.
You still do got a chance to finish above 500.
Yeah, I think I gotta run the table.
I think you gotta go like 4-1 each week.
If it was beginning of the season, I would be all over that. But this now, I have no confidence. My bets suck. So I don't know what to do. I'm literally just picking. Like I went to go strat wise. That didn't work. Vibes don't work. Now I'm just going ultra vibes. The Vikings. No. I don't know why. I don't know. I just don't feel like it. All right, Brandon, let's get into it. Your favorite.
My favorite for this week. We're going with a team that's playing very well against a team that is coming off. I think it's like 3 of their last 4 weeks. They have lost in a very unfortunate way. We're taking the Bengals -3.5 at New England. Bengals playing great. New England, they might have some hunger in them, but also I think the Bengals are just that much better than them right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate that pick. Not going to lie. Like, I've talked about it. I talked about it earlier. I just feel like the Patriots, that's a game that they somehow win. Kind of like how I felt like the Bucks, like Tom Brady was going to somehow beat the Bengals this week. He didn't. But not that I don't like the Bengals. It's just the Patriots are just fucking Patriots, and Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. My favorite, hottest team in football, Motor City Kitties, -2.5 in the bank at Carolina. They're hot. -2.5 seems like a disrespectful line to me. Carolina is not a very good team. They just lost to Pittsburgh with Mitch Trubisky at the helm. That is an embarrassing loss. You got the Lions coming to town, 6 out of their last 7. Yeah, Lions are hot. They're going to continue to stay hot after this one with at least a 3-point win.
That's fair enough.
All right, your favorite dog, Brandon.
My favorite dog for this week, the team we ran over. Not us and like the Vikings that we just recapped. They were going to be without a crucial piece, but I believe in Minshew Mania. Philadelphia +6 at Dallas. I think Philadelphia has a good enough team around him that they'll be able to stay within a touchdown of Dallas, especially since Dallas is coming off 2 sketchy weeks. I think Philly should have this one.
Yeah, I actually am agreeing with you on this one. I think the Eagles are going to prove that they're just that good of a team this week, even with the backup quarterback. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they'll keep it close just because I think Dallas will be desperate enough and they'll win this game. But I think the Eagles are that good of a team to where I think the Eagles will keep this close. All right, your favorite over, Brandon.
My favorite over, I feel like this one is kind of free money. I probably shouldn't say that because each time you say that, it usually doesn't hit. Especially when we're dealing with the Broncos. But we're not dealing with the Broncos this week. We are dealing with Washington at San Francisco over 39.5. Let's hear it.
Straight cash, homie.
This is a low over. I think this could easily be hit. It looks like Brock Purdy is going to play, and I don't know of any major injuries to any of the Commanders, so I don't know why it's this low.
Do you think that this game might be what the Bucks were with the Commanders, or the Bucks and the 49ers? Do you think it's going to be a very similar game to that?
Even if it is, it still hits.
It's true. But I also think the Commanders can have enough stops because their defense. Oh, that one's tough. I mean, in the bank is a low. Risky pick.
It's just so low with such a good offense the 49ers against a solid offense with the Commanders. And they both got good defenses.
Hey, if it's so low, you should definitely take the over in the Rams and the Broncos game. I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be at like 35 or something. It's going to be so astronomically low.
Let's see. Is it up yet?
No, I don't think so. I was going to look it up on Bleacher Report or something, but I have a feeling it's going to be one of the lowest overs unders we've seen all year. It's going to be astronomically low. But my over, I got Buffalo at Chicago, 40.5. I don't know if there's like an injury that I don't know about, but fuck. Buffalo, I think they're going to start. I think they're going to pull it together here and have a really good week. I think the Bears, they just are a fun team. They produce a lot of overs. So, yeah, I think this one hits. I just like the Bears' overs have been hitting a lot recently. Justin Fields has been pretty dynamic. So we'll see. But Bears, Buffalo over 40.5. All right, your favorite under, Brandon.
My under for this week is, I don't know, I'm kind of nervous about this one because I think if you took both team scores from last week, they would have hit the over. But I think it's going to be a nitty-gritty game. Philadelphia at Dallas, 46.5. I think it is the highest over-under line this week. Or it's one of them.
Is it actually?
It might be.
I think the Vikings one is actually higher.
Oh, I think you're right. And then it's this one. But this seems like a lot of points, especially for having, like I said, Gardner Minshew. He's not bad as backup, but still he is a backup quarterback. And I think this is a little too many. Or this could easily hit the under.
Yeah, I have this one as well.
Cool.
Basically, I was just like, I think the Eagles are that good of a team, and I think they'll show that. I think Dallas is going to struggle to score offensively, and I think that goes likewise with the Eagles because they have a backup. So 46.5, it just seems like a defensive battle. That's going to be brewing. I just looked at the over-under, 35.5 for the Broncos and Rams.
Okay.
Just saying, that's so fucking low.
It is. It's very low.
It's so bad. But I don't know. I'm betting a lot on the fucking Eagles this week. And I don't know how to feel about that, but if anything, if we're going based off this, what I should have been doing a long time ago is I should have started betting against the Eagles. Or betting with the Eagles every week, and then their bets would have not hit. So then they would have lost games probably. That's what I should have done.
Okay.
Or just anything, because my bets just don't hit. So like the Titans the Panthers lost this week. Yep. The Rams didn't even cover.
Nope.
Chicago and Philly just didn't somehow score enough points. And then somehow, some way, the game was 6-3 at halftime. They somehow scored fucking, how many points did they score?
David Blau worked his
33 magic. Points, dude, in the second. I thought it was Trace McSorley that was in the game.
Is he the one that came in? I know they signed David Blau off the Vikings practice squad.
Either way, they scored 9 points in the first half, and then they somehow scored fucking, what, 30 points in the second half? Dude, like, what the fuck? Just, like, should have been an easy under. Like, they had no points at the first half, and I couldn't even rely on that. They scored so many points in the second half. Mm-hmm. Just, I fucking hate. I'm glad I don't bet on this anymore, or had money to bet on this, because it would just be miserable.
You're not ready to put down $100 on your in the banks next year?
No, I'm not putting $100 on that shit.
Why not?
Fuck no. Because I don't have the money for that. I don't have the balls for that. No. Shut up, bro. All right. Well, I think it's going to do it for us here at Certified Beef. Catch you guys in the next one. Peace.